Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome back to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin. Yesterday, we talked about why mid-year tax planning matters and the difference between proactive tax planning and reactive tax preparation. Today, we're diving into Schedule E, the foundation of your real estate tax return. Schedule E is where rental income and expenses are reported. Understanding Schedule E is critical because it's how you capture eligible deductions, properly report your rental activity, and optimize your tax position. Today, I'm going to walk you through Schedule E line by line, explain what gets reported where, and share best practices for staying compliant while maximizing your deductions. Let's start with what Schedule E is. Schedule E is officially titled Supplemental Income and Loss. It's used to report income and losses from rental real estate, royalties, partnerships, S corporations, estates, and trusts. For real estate investors, Schedule E has two main parts. Part 1 is for rental real estate and royalty income. This is where you report income and expenses from properties you own directly. Part 2 is for income from partnerships, S corporations, estates, and trusts. This is where you report income from syndications or other partnership investments, typically through Schedule K-1s. Today, we're focusing primarily on Part 1, rental real estate. Each rental property is reported separately on Schedule E. If you own three rental properties, you'll have three separate columns on Schedule E, one for each property. This separation is important because it allows you to track the performance of each property individually and properly allocate expenses. Now let's walk through the income section. Line 3 asks for your gross rents received. This is the total rental income you collected during the year, including rent payments, late fees, pet fees, and any other rental-related income. If you charge tenants for utilities or other services, that income is also reported here. Line 4 asks for royalties. For most rental property investors, this line will be blank. Royalties are typically related to mineral rights or intellectual property, not rental real estate. An important note about security deposits. Security deposits are not income when you receive them. They're only income if you keep them to cover damages or unpaid rent. If you return the full security deposit at the end of the lease, it's never reported as income. If you keep $500 to cover damages, that $500 becomes income in the year you keep it. Now let's move to the expense section. This is where you deduct all ordinary and necessary expenses related to your rental property. Line 5 is advertising. This includes costs to advertise your property for rent, online listings, signs, classified ads. Line 6 is auto and travel. You can deduct mileage for trips related to your rental property, driving to the property for inspections, meeting with contractors, going to the hardware store for supplies. You can use the standard mileage rate or actual expenses. Most investors use the standard mileage rate because it's simpler. For 2024, the standard mileage rate is subject to annual IRS updates. Keep a mileage log. This is one of the most commonly missed deductions because investors don't track it properly. Line 7 is cleaning and maintenance. This includes costs to clean the property between tenants, routine maintenance, lawn care, snow removal, and similar expenses. Line 8 is commissions. If you pay a leasing agent or property manager a commission to find tenants, that's deductible here. Line 9 is insurance. This is your property insurance, landlord insurance, and any other insurance related to the rental property. Do not include your personal homeowner's insurance if you live in the property. Only the portion related to the rental. Line 10 is legal and other professional fees. This includes fees paid to attorneys, accountants, property managers, and other professionals related to your rental activity. Line 11 is management fees. If you pay a property management company to manage your property, those fees are deductible here. Line 12 is mortgage interest. This is the interest portion of your mortgage payment, not the principal. Your lender will send you Form 1098 showing the interest paid during the year. Principal payments are not deductible, only interest. Line 13 is other interest. This could include interest on credit cards used for rental expenses or other loans related to the property. Line 14 is repairs. This is one of the most important lines and one where investors often make mistakes. Repairs are costs to keep the property in good operating condition. Fixing a broken window, patching a hole in the wall, repairing a leaky faucet. Repairs are deductible in the year you pay for them. Improvements, on the other hand, are costs that add value to the property, prolong its life, or adapt it to new uses. Improvements must be capitalized and depreciated over time, not deducted immediately. The distinction between repairs and improvements is important. Fixing a broken window is a repair. Replacing all the windows in the property is an improvement. Repainting a room is a repair. Adding a new room is an improvement. Replacing a few shingles on the roof is a repair. Replacing the entire roof is an improvement. When in doubt, consult with your CPA. Misclassifying improvements as repairs can trigger IRS scrutiny. Line 15 is supplies. This includes items like cleaning supplies, light bulbs, furnace filters, and other consumable items used in maintaining the property. Line 16 is taxes. This is your property taxes, not income taxes. Report the actual property taxes paid during the year, not the amount held in escrow. If your mortgage payment includes escrow for property taxes, you need to look at your property tax bills to see what was actually paid. The escrow amount and the actual payment may differ. Line 17 is utilities. If you pay utilities for the rental property, water, sewer, electric, gas, trash, those costs are deductible here. If tenants pay utilities, you don't deduct anything on this line. Line 18 is depreciation. This is typically the largest deduction on Schedule E and one of the most powerful tax benefits of real estate investing. Depreciation allows you to deduct the cost of the building over its useful life, 27.5 years for residential rental property. We're going to cover depreciation in detail in tomorrow's episode, but the key point is that you must claim depreciation. The IRS requires you to reduce your basis whether you claim it or not. Line 19 is other expenses. This is a catch-all for any legitimate rental expenses that don't fit into the other categories. HOA fees, pest control, locksmith services, and similar costs. You'll need to attach a statement listing what these other expenses are. Now let's talk about some important considerations. First, you can only deduct expenses related to the rental portion of the property. If you live in part of the property, you need to allocate expenses between personal use and rental use. For example, if you rent out a basement apartment that represents 30% of the square footage, you can only deduct 30% of expenses like property taxes, insurance, and utilities. Second, you need to maintain adequate documentation. The IRS can disallow deductions if you don't have supporting records. Keep receipts, invoices, bank statements, and mileage logs. Use accounting software or apps to track everything systematically. Third, use separate bank accounts and credit cards for rental properties. This makes record keeping much easier and provides clear documentation that expenses are rental related, not personal. Fourth, understand the difference between cash basis and accrual basis accounting. Most individual rental property owners use cash basis, which means you report income when you receive it and deduct expenses when you pay them. Now let's talk about passive loss limitations. Rental real estate is generally considered a passive activity. Passive losses can only offset passive income. They can't offset W-2 wages or self-employment income unless you qualify as a real estate professional. However, there's a special allowance for active participants. If you actively participate in managing your rental property, you may be able to deduct up to $25,000 of rental losses against your other income. Active participation means you make management decisions, approving tenants, setting rental terms, approving repairs. You don't have to do the day-to-day work yourself. This $25,000 allowance phases out for taxpayers with modified adjusted gross income between $100,000 and $150,000. If your MAGI exceeds $150,000, the allowance is completely phased out. If your rental losses exceed the allowance, or you don't qualify for the allowance, the losses are suspended and carried forward to future years. You can use them to offset future passive income or when you sell the property. Understanding passive loss limitations is critical for tax planning. Many investors expect rental losses to offset W-2 income and are surprised when they can't. Now let's talk about Schedule E Part 2 and K-1s. If you invest in syndications, partnerships, or other entities taxed as partnerships, you'll receive a Schedule K-1 showing your share of income, deductions, and credits. K-1s are reported on Schedule E Part 2. The K-1 will show your share of rental income, depreciation, interest, and other items. K-1s can be complex, especially for larger syndications with multiple properties, debt, and tax allocations. Your CPA should help you understand and properly report K-1 income. One important note, K-1s are often issued late, sometimes not until March or April. This can delay your tax filing. If you invest in syndications, be prepared for this. Let me share some common Schedule E mistakes. First, not separating personal and rental use. If you use the property personally for part of the year, you must allocate expenses appropriately. Second, deducting improvements as repairs. Improvements must be capitalized and depreciated, not deducted immediately. Third, not tracking mileage. This is one of the most commonly missed deductions. Fourth, not claiming depreciation. Some investors or their CPAs don't claim depreciation. This is a mistake. You must reduce your basis whether you claim it or not. Fifth, not keeping adequate records. The IRS can disallow deductions if you don't have supporting documentation. Sixth, commingling personal and rental expenses. Use separate accounts for rental properties. Seventh, not understanding passive loss limitations. Many investors expect losses to offset W-2 income and are surprised when they can't. Our approach to Schedule E is systematic and disciplined. We maintain separate bank accounts and credit cards for each rental property. This makes tracking income and expenses straightforward. We use accounting software to categorize every transaction as it happens, not at year end. We track mileage using apps that automatically log trips and categorize them. We work with a qualified real estate CPA who understands rental property taxation and helps us properly classify expenses. We claim all eligible deductions, including depreciation, and we maintain detailed records to support every deduction. We understand passive loss limitations and plan accordingly. And we review our Schedule E throughout the year, not just at tax time, so we can identify issues early and make adjustments. Let me close with this. Schedule E is the foundation of your real estate tax return. Understanding what gets reported and how to properly capture eligible deductions is critical for optimizing your after-tax returns. Track all income and expenses throughout the year with proper documentation. Use separate accounts for rental properties. Understand the distinction between repairs and improvements. Claim depreciation on all properties. Be aware of passive loss limitations and how they impact your ability to use rental losses. Work with a qualified real estate CPA who understands rental property taxation. And maintain organized, detailed records. Good record keeping makes tax preparation easier and ensures you're capturing all eligible deductions. Tomorrow, we're diving deep into depreciation, one of the most powerful tax benefits in real estate. I'll explain how it works, how to calculate it, and how it creates tax-advantaged cash flow. Thanks for listening. I'm CREI Colin. Let's keep building passive income together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free passive investor coaching program at passiveinvestorcoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.